take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
St. Vinny's Dig and Save annual $1 winter coat event starts Thursday, November 2nd at 10 o'clock. You can dig deep into the bins, but you don't have to dig deep into your wallet, if you know what I mean, to find a warm coat for you or someone else at the 20th annual Dollar Coat Sale. The event starts this Thursday, November 2nd, and will last until the coats are gone.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like St. Vincent de Paul. Also, our friends at SNR Remodeling, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. So, anything new going on?
Oh, you know, seems like a little bit of activity around Washington. Legal stuff.
Some legal stuff.
Boring legal stuff.
I've been seeing some black SUVs with tinted windows coming out of the basements of buildings. Is that something?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. You know, it's the modern perp walk.
Uh-huh.
That's what we've got, right? And this is sort of a example of what we're seeing right now with the indictment of close associates of Donald Trump for their involvement in an incredible range of very serious illegal activity. And not just the indictment, but actually the conviction of a former senior player in the Trump campaign. All this stuff happening. What you're seeing is, of course, the special treatment that the wealthy and the elite get. You know, the FBI busts your door down and comes in and pulls you out if you're a working class person, right? But if you're, you know, an associate of torturers and dictators and strongmen and Donald Trump, you get to call in and arrange your arrival. You can get your hair together and get a nice suit on and everything.
The search of Manafort's house, though, that wasn't so white collar.
No, it wasn't. But let's also, I mean, I've always suggested that even that, I suspect, was more arranged in time. I think a lot's going to come out about how long Manafort, Rick Gates, and now this Papadopoulos character have been cooperating with the FBI or engaging with the FBI in some way or another. Cooperation being one level, engagement, you know, somewhat less. But the fact of the matter is, here's what we've got this morning. As we
record this Monday morning, 9:30 Central Standard Time.
Interlocking above. 12 counts of incredible wrongdoing against Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign manager, and Rick Gates, Trump's campaign aide, and the guy who, I followed the campaigns. What Rick Gates did was the guy who kind of made the trains run on time for the Trump campaign, uh-huh. And then switched over.
In Russia or New York?
No, he's mainly working in the U.S. But then switched over to do the same task, making the trains run on time for the inaugural process. So these are not people who are disassociated with or distant from Donald Trump. They're very central figures. And then also a longtime Trump aide, a fellow named Papadopoulos, who was a foreign policy advisor, who has already been apparently convicted.
Yeah, George Papadopoulos has pleaded guilty.
So we got all this in a matter of minutes.
To lying to the FBI.
Yeah. And in fact, Manafort and Gates are also charged with lying to federal investigators. And then if you look at the indictment, it's pretty amazing what's all in there, right? Money laundering. You see how much they're in for money laundering?
How much?
$18 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but that's not the whole of it. That's just what they've clearly got a thumb on. Then there's also setting up secret, unregistered foreign accounts, right, through which $75 million moved. So we're talking, you start to add this money up, you're talking a lot of money that these guys were dealing in. And here's the other relevant fact, or two other relevant facts. First, that money came from people around the world, very powerful, not very nice people, some of them in the Ukraine. And it was during a period, or at least the period of these indictments, goes from 2006 to 2017, this year. Now, not everybody's good with calendars, but one of the things that happened between 2006 and 2017 was Donald Trump's campaign, with which Manafort was closely associated with it. And a final element I'll put in the mix, which is not being talked about quite as much as should be. You know, Trump is saying that there was no real ties, very limited relationship. Manafort was an associate of Trump's going back to the 1980s. It's said that within meetings of the Trump campaign, the one person in the room who would refer to Trump not as Mr. Trump but as Donald, very comfortably and on a regular basis and didn't bother Trump, was Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort didn't just come on the campaign to be campaign manager. He became an advisor to the campaign before he was campaign manager. And notably, after he was out as campaign manager, he continued to talk to Trump and presumably counsel him by phone, you know, throughout the campaign and into the transition process. And there are those who say, well, he had limited influence on the campaign, though, even though he's around. Two things we absolutely know. On Manafort's watch, during the period that he was supposedly in charge of making sure that the platform writing process and the convention process, things that he's an expert on, went smoothly for Trump, the Republican platform was radically altered to change its stance regarding the Ukraine and the Russians. That's number one. And number two, can I talk about influence? Paul Manafort brought Mike Pence to the Trump campaign.
Well, Mike Pence, hadn't heard about him for a while.
He's in a lot. This is a very bad day for Mike Pence. This is something, you know, I always have these people, and it's sort of funny. They'll say, oh, well, you don't want to impeach Trump, you'd get Pence. And I've said for months, Pence is in as much trouble or more trouble than Trump. People need to understand this. Pence came through the door via manipulations by Manafort and Jared Kushner, two of the people who are in the Manafort already clearly in trouble. Kushner, another one, who's very likely.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, by all accounts, the Trump children and Manafort spun a tale to Trump about his plane being broken, kept him in Indiana an extra day so he could spend more time and they could nail down Pence being the vice presidential candidate.
And shared mission here between Manafort and Trump. Trump wanting to have, or between Manafort and the Trump kids, Manafort wanting somebody that he was closely associated with, somebody he knew, somebody he thought of as part of the world he well understood, Mike Pence, to be vice president, liking that idea. The Trump kids not wanting Chris Christie to be the vice president, because although Christie was more competent, many ways more appealing, whether we like him or not, and certainly a cleaner figure, a less scandal-like figure, right? I know it's hard to imagine.
Whoa!
He just closed some roads, man. All right? I'll stick to that.
He knew nothing. He was like Sergeant Schultz. He knew nothing.
There's a lot of knowing nothing going on. But I just say, they didn't want Christie because Christie had, of course, prosecuted Kushner's dad. So what we're looking at now, what we've got is a situation where Manafort was a definitional figure as regards the platform, as regards the choice of the vice president, close ongoing relations with the president, the vice president, and the president's family. This is quite an interesting day, I would say.
Here is former prosecutor Paul Butler on MSNBC Friday night as news broke about Mueller's decision to make an indictment.
Minds. What if Donald Trump were to respond to whoever it is that's being indicted by attempting to get Rod Rosenstein to fire Robert Mueller? Would that actually add to a charge of obstruction?
If the president tries to fire Mueller at this point, he is writing his own articles of impeachment. He already has exposure for obstruction of justice based on the numerous ways that he's tried to impede this investigation. It's way too late in the game to try to get rid of Mueller now. He ought to be trying to be very nice to Robert Mueller, because he's looking like he's going from somewhere to a subject of this investigation to a target of it.
Sorry, that was Joy Reid who asked the question the next morning. All right, Senator Ron Johnson, he is, I don't know if you know about him, he's the senior senator from Wisconsin.
We're talking to the guy.
Yeah, before the news about Mueller's pending indictment came out Friday, earlier in the day, Johnson said that that Mueller should step down, and the Wall Street Journal has called for Mueller to step down.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and they tried last week this sort of comic effort to, say that Mueller should be looking at Hillary Clinton or something, like, you know, all that stuff. I actually think that's going to dial down pretty quick.
Really?
And I'll tell you what. There may come a point where Trump tries to fire Mueller, but Trump's initial responses here, saying there was no collusion, saying, the things that he said on Twitter already, he's made statements already that are relevant to all this, suggests that they are going to try the old I know nothing Sergeant Schultz defense, where they suggest that we really don't know this guy, we don't know much about him, it's not really tied to us. If they're playing that thing out, it doesn't make sense to fire Mueller at this point. I may be wrong. In an hour we'll see that, because things go wildly. But my gut on this is that they're going to try hard to continue the project that they launched clearly now when they realized that the Mueller indictments were coming. And that is to say, there's more wrongdoing on the other side. It's muddy, i.e., why aren't you looking at Hillary Clinton and uranium and all these other things? Two, that what they've got here, what Mueller's got, that Manafort, these other folks, these are secondary things. They're not really, major influencers on the campaign. Now, that's a lie, no question. But my sense is that they're going to try and play that lie and see how far they can get with it.
Now, I think it was Pete Williams this morning, maybe it was another commentator, that said that, the fact that there are so many indictments against Manafort is a pretty good indication he isn't cooperating as of yet. That usually, if someone's cooperating, it's a situation like George Papadopoulos, who gets one, right? One count and pleads guilty. He's clearly flipped.
Yeah, it looks pretty clear he's cooperating, and I agree with you. And these are 12 against Manafort and Gates, by the way.
Uh-huh.
You understand? So it becomes a very interesting thing of who you're trying to move here, right? And how many ultimately apply to who, right? And will all 12 permanently apply to Manafort and Gates? Or will there be some parceling out of all this stuff? My sense is, as I think you're suggesting here, that this is not the end of the story with these guys. This is a play to tell these guys how much they have to cooperate, i.e. that, there's no half steps here. There's no fooling around. When you're literally putting the figures, 18 million money laundering, 75 million running through secret overseas accounts, you're saying we have unimaginable amounts of evidence on you, and you know this stuff, we know it now too, we've got it all, you really, this has got to be 100%. And if you do 100%, I'll just tell you, if you've ever followed cases involving organized crime, mafia cases,
uh-huh,
and that, they've had guys who killed dozens of people who got through with very limited punishment.
Here is Adam Schiff yesterday on ABC.
Welcome back to This Week, Congressman.
Thank you.
I want to begin with this question that Governor Christie raised here, the idea that the president is not under investigation. Is that your conclusion?
I can't comment on that, George. I can't answer that one way or the other.
Yeah, one way or the other? You wouldn't know whether Robert Mueller is investigating the president?
I can't comment on that at all.
What's your reaction to this news that there may be a sealed indictment?
Well, You know, there are two people, I think, just from press reporting, that it is likely to be either Mike Flynn or Paul Manafort. We haven't been informed of who it is, and I don't think it would have been appropriate for Bob Mueller to tell us. If it is Paul Manafort, and he has apparently told others that he expects to be indicted, it may help us answer one very central question in the investigation, and that is, we know that the Russian government, through intermediaries, was reaching out to the Trump campaign, reaching out to Paul Manafort and others, and offering information on Hillary Clinton they thought would help the Trump campaign, and that the campaign was willing and accepted that idea. We also know from the Washington Post reporting that contemporaneous with that, Paul Manafort is reaching out in the other direction to the Kremlin through oligarchs like Oleg Deripaska, offering information on the campaign in exchange for money, money he believed was owed him for work in Ukraine for a pro-Russia party. The question is, who gave what to whom as a result of these overtures? But the fact that these requests are moving in opposite directions, and what information, of course, would Mr. Manafort have to offer the Russians? Well, what would the president do on sanctions? That would be the most important information the Kremlin would want. So if it is him, it may ultimately help us answer those questions.
And we'll get your answer on this, John, next. SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who's going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back with John Nichols, SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many great local sponsors. John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation with us. All right, John, here we go. What did you make of Representative Schiff's comments?
Well, you know, look, I think that we're in this very difficult place, a very fast-moving story. And so Schiff was being asked questions at a point when there was still some uncertainty about who was going to be indicted. So that we've got to put that to the side. But at the core, we're asked, is President Trump being investigated? And Schiff said, well, I can't comment on that. I mean, that's the standout there. That's why you played that tape, right? You know, because
no,
because of course, when a member of Congress who does have and Schiff has sort of unique access to a tremendous amount of information because of the committees he's on, and frankly because of the role that he has carved out for himself, and as a result, when he says I can't comment on that, it's essentially an invitation to the assumption that there's more going on. And again, here comes the issue of how do you classify being under investigation? Has there been an announcement that there's an investigation of the president? No, there's not. Well, if there hasn't been an announcement by Mueller, then you don't really have that, do you? You know, you don't have the formal reality of it. But if you're a member of Congress who's party to, you know, presumably a little more information about what else is going on with all of this, you, and also a former prosecutor, it's not hard for you to be aware, right, that this thing is headed toward the president.
You know, the very fact that there is an investigation, that there is a Robert Mueller, and a special, you know, prosecutor in this case, isn't it because of Donald Trump? Had James Comey not been fired, would Robert Mueller be around right now? By the way,
no, he certainly, unquestionably wouldn't be in this role.
Well, by the way, it appears as though some of this stuff against Manafort started long before Mueller. This investigation by the Justice Department started long before Mueller was brought on.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's one of the reasons people have been saying, and again, this is a question that's open for some debate, but one of the reasons people have been saying that Manafort's come first is, and that Flynn, General Flynn, may also be, you know, a target here and may come relatively soon, is that there were inquiries on these guys before, you know, this thing all started going. And remember, what Mueller now is doing what Mueller has picked up is more than just his own assignment. He's picked up the information and the processes that were in play already. So you see a merging of inquiries and investigations into Mueller's operation, and that it points to Manafort. You know, the significance of Manafort here cannot be underestimated. He has been associated with Trump forever. He calls Trump Donald. They're clearly, you know, they're both business associates and pretty friendly people to one another. He's brought in with a very critical role, and that is to make the Republican convention work for Trump, because he was, and also to shut down the so-called Never Trump movements, to make, you know, kind of make that train run. Gates, his associate, doing the same kind of work. This, they cannot have known, they cannot have been unaware when they brought Manafort and Gates in that these guys were playing these games. I mean, if you had, you realize, Manafort's been before Congress before, talking about his work as quote-unquote influence peddling, acknowledging that. You know,
he is the swamp.
No, it's more than that. He's referred to, he's famously referred to as, you know, the front man, the key guy for the so-called torture lobby. He represented the worst dictators, strongmen, torturers, awful people in the world. And this goes back to the 80s. This is not new.
Well, evidently, it goes back to 1978. A number of people this morning are talking about how he was the first to sort of figure out, after leaving the Reagan administration, he was also in the Ford administration, very young, but he was the first to kind of figure out how to monetize the revolving door process in its current incarnation. So right. He's sort of the inventor.
Well, and also the inventor of something else, which was the willingness to go across the line of acceptability, right? That, you know, yes, if you were somebody, the representative of, or somebody tied to France or Great Britain and working with the U.S., that's one thing, you know. Usually France, Great Britain would employ their own people. But then you had these countries around the world where dictators were doing horrible, horrible things. And what they wanted to do was make sure that they didn't face sanctions. Economic punishment from the U.S. Manafort is an expert in dealing with the threat of sanctions by the U.S. That's his professional area of expertise as a lobbyist. And so isn't it interesting that this guy, who we now are clearly working with the Ukrainians, ties to the Russians, who, what did they have a problem with, Sly?
Sanctions.
Isn't that interesting?
No, that meeting was just about adoptions. And here, you know, the president rewriting the press release for Donald Jr. on Air Force One, essentially obfuscating the real story. When you look at this, and then you have to have the stretch of belief that that meeting with those Russians took place at Trump Tower without Donald Trump knowing.
Well, yeah, just down the hallway, right, and involving his son-in-law and all these other people. Involving his son, of course. But
and his son-in-law.
Kushner floating yeah. around, too. I mean, look, here's the bottom line on all this stuff. What we absolutely know is that Trump's a micromanager guy, right? He's a guy who's got his hands in all this stuff. He's constantly talking to people. And, you know, one of the things that I find interesting about this, you just talked about Trump, you know, dictating that press release or that statement on the plane. What we now learn, what we have learned, is that Manafort had continuing conversations, phone conversations, with Trump long after he left as campaign manager. One of the things that Trump people like to say is, oh, Trump fired Manafort, right, and brought in Steve Bannon and all these folks. You know, it was an interesting sort of quote-unquote fired, because Manafort maintained contact with Trump. And so what I would love to get the records on right now would be any information on who Trump talked to before he dictated that press release.
Here is Ted Cruz earlier this week.
I think it's unfortunate the nastiness that pervades Washington right now, and the political battles of personality that consume seemingly every minute of the media attention and an awful lot of the time and energy here in this town. It's like you're back in junior high. I really don't care who passed a note to the cute girls in pigtails. We got a job to do, damn it. And so all of this nonsense, I got nothing to say on it. Everyone shut up and do your job.
Well, there you go.
The whole effort to sort of say this is a nothing burger, can we say that's over today?
I think it's kind of collapsing. And look, I think that, and I've said this before, I think that Robert Mueller is an expert in stagecraft. Anybody who knows anything about prosecutions, and investigations, inquiries.
Speak up, please.
Well, I was going to say, anybody who knows about prosecutions, investigations, inquiries of this sort knows that at this higher level, there's an element of stagecraft. It's when you release information, how you parcel it out, what you do. And it's just very interesting that today, right, you know, first we get the Manafort and Gates hit, if you will, right? And then a little bit of time is left for that to settle in, for people to start to talk about it, for everybody to pay attention to it, and even for the White House to start to respond, saying no collusion, limited stuff. And then suddenly the Papadopoulos conviction, or the pleading guilty, the fact that this advisor to Trump has already acknowledged lying to the FBI, comes out, right? So it's almost as if you're playing sort of a card game here, and the White House, you know, thinks that they know what's in everybody's deck. They think they know what's on the table at this point. Suddenly another card gets dealt, and it's a bad card for the White House. And so my suspicion is that at this point, inside the White House, there's a tremendous scrambling going on. We know that Trump has been advised on all this and counseled on all this. But there's a tremendous scramble going on, and they, because of the Papadopoulos revelation, they don't know what might be coming in addition today or tomorrow or in the days to come. And I'll tell you, for somebody who's the target of an inquiry, that's a very terrible place to be.
Here's Roland Martin yesterday on ABC.
We literally watch a campaign of folks chant, lock her up, that we can have a president under investigation. And we are here right now. This is the real test as to whether or not Republicans will actually put patriotism above partisanship. Will conservative media folks actually speak truth or want to defend Trump at any and all cost? I love it how people are complaining about players who take a knee in the flag, but then want to excuse what Russia has done. That is the real issue here. And what Mueller is doing is doing what a prosecutor should do, get to the truth. Remember, Whitewater started with one thing and ended with another. This is what happened when you go through
a
federal investigation.
I think there's a quote with Winston Churchill they were talking about this morning. Is this the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning?
Yeah, this is probably the end of the beginning.
Okay.
Rather than the beginning of the end. I think we have to be careful still to get a real sense of how far this goes and where this goes. Clearly, Mueller's trying to accomplish something, and what he's trying to accomplish is to get, I would argue, to get Manafort and Gates to turn. They may already have turned, by the way. That's, you have to understand that these are ongoing processes. And, you know, if you're a bad player and you are in the sights of a prosecutor or an investigator, your initial thing that you will do is try to give up a little bit to see if you can, you know, get off the hook. Then when the prosecutor comes at you and says, we have so much more on you, we have the ability to put you away for life, you're going to jail for life if you don't help us, then and that evolves, right? So there's negotiations going on here, and we don't know where that all is going to end up. But what I think we do know is this. Robert Mueller has taken this inquiry into the heart of the Trump campaign, right? And you now have three people closely associated with the Trump campaign in 2016 and even into the start of 2017 with the transition process and the inaugural as regards Gates, and they're all in trouble, right? It's sort of comic to maintain the fantasy that this doesn't have something to do, that this inquiry doesn't have some interest in the Trump campaign, and by extension, then Trump. And again, I will emphasize something I said before. This also takes us into a very interesting new area as regards Mike Pence, the vice president. And no one should miss the fact that the guy who is at the top of the headlines today, Manafort, is the guy who helped to manipulate things on behalf of Mike Pence getting on that ticket.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.